Let me if I lose my battery. It's due to go down. I just don't know when. Today, and actually probably for the next month and a half, 2 months, I'm going to be doing a series on the Holy Spirit. We have this class on Monday night, and I think you can still come to it. And any, if hey, you always come in, I don't know, but 40 to 50 of you are involved in it on the Holy Spirit. So I thought I'd add my 2 cents worth to this whole thing, and so that's what we're going to begin today with. So for those of you who know this prayer, join with me in it. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. You have in your bulletin several scriptures, and I would like for us to read John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, then John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. Here we go. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now read with me John chapter 14. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Now let me point a couple things out related to these two scriptures. First, because of the Holy Spirit's ministry in a person, rivers of living waters will flow out of the inner being of the one who believes in Jesus. Second, this specific flow is related to the giving of the Holy Spirit and is not simply related to the experience of new birth and receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. On Pentecost, which is the day that we celebrate the birth of the church by the Holy Spirit is described or is named the Counselor by Jesus in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John. So today I want to talk to you about the gift of the Holy Spirit as Counselor, one who brings us counsel in the things of our lives. Now, to begin with, the gift of the Holy Spirit to us needs to be separated from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference between the gifts from the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I have 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, which really describes the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like for us to read it together. These are the things that this Holy Spirit gives. Here we go. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now that talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus talks about the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. Now let me use a pretty poor example of the difference between the gifts and the gift of the person. This is a poor example because I'm the example. But any pastor could be used as this example. The gift of me from God, a mixed blessing, I'm sure, to you as pastor is the gift of my person. And I am here and I dwell within you as the congregation. Then in the role of pastor, I begin to give to you according to the resources that you need and also the resources that I have. And those would be the gifts from me according to your need. One is the gift of a person, a relationship. The other is the gifts from that person to answer specific need. Now, granted, this is a poor example because I am fallible and I'm less than perfect and I suffer from human frailty, as we all do, but there are parallels. The gift of a person and the gifts from that person. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts from the Holy Spirit. Now, I hope you follow me in this. Not if you do. This means I don't get it. And we'll have counseling later. So you have the gift of my person as pastor here, but in a particular need you might have, I come and I give a gift. At one time, it might be the gift of comfort at the loss of a loved one. At another time, it might be the gift of revelation from a servant, sermon or a personal encounter. It might be the gift of counseling or the gift of wisdom or the gift of healing in a relationship, such as a marriage. At some point, in order to meet your need, not your wants, I might bring you the gift of confrontation, to bring you to a point of understanding and renewed growth. At various times, it might be the gift of administration in a particular situation or teaching when you need a new revelation or healing and presence and encouragement during a time of struggle, such as illness. Sometime, I may bring the gift of prophecy with a personal message for you from God. Out of me comes the gifts that I give to you as pastor. Within my personal limitations as a human being and as I have been given gifts and talents by God. That's how it works. Now, one is the gift of the person, which is me as pastor. The other is the gifts that come from me to meet a particular need or address particular times in our personal lives or our corporate life as a congregation. Now, I hope you see the difference here. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift that comes from the hand of Jesus sent from the Father. Jesus is the one who baptized and anoints with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit on an individual, then that person becomes available to the operation of spiritual gifts for the simple reason that the one who distributes those gifts has become to dwell in power in him, and there is, in fact, an overflow from him. Now, let me explain to you now the difference between the indwelling of the Spirit, which is something that is given to us at a time we receive Jesus, and the overflow of the Spirit, which has to do with a time a person receives a gift and the Holy Spirit comes in some form of power. Now, let me use me as a poor example again, but nonetheless, one, it's still workable. When I became pastor here, or when you joined the body of Christ here, then I became a person who dwelled in your life as pastor. But I may not have functioned as a gift giver in terms of power away for quite some time, or maybe if you're just loosely connected, maybe never for that matter. There could be large intervals of time that pass between those things. In other words, though I was present in your life, I was not functioning in an overflow way until there was a need, maybe. Outside of Sunday worship, the gift of revelation, the worship in its regularity. Now, there's a difference between indwelling of the Spirit and the overflow of the Spirit as related to the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was born, there is an example. And it really is the first example of the people receiving the overflow of this Holy Spirit. Read with me Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Here we go. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. At that time, the Holy Spirit flowed out of them through language. But it was the beginning of the flow of living waters. Jesus tied to the Holy Spirit the flow of rivers of living waters, and they are related to the gifts that come from the person of the Holy Spirit. There's a river of healing, wisdom, understanding, a river of knowledge, comfort, inner strength, faith. And one I want to raise up to you in particular is the river of counsel, or the gift of counsel. The Holy Spirit is our divine counselor. The Holy Spirit has a ministry to each of us, and it is the gift of His counsel. Now, back to this poor example. As pastor of the church, one way I function is I give the gift of counseling in life situations on occasion. And many of you have benefited from that particular gift from me, but I tell you what, I'm really a poor example compared to the Holy Spirit as counselor. The Holy Spirit is our divine counselor, and in a much more powerful way is the counselor. He is the wonderful counselor who guides, comforts, strengthens, encourages, convinces, and sometimes convicts us, but always calling us to kingdom living. Jesus said rivers would flow out of the inner person, and He was speaking about the Holy Spirit being given to a person, and the Holy Spirit is to be that person's counselor. Read with me together Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This scripture right here in Isaiah, which is what we use at Christmas time, is one of the prophecies concerning Jesus, but it talks about the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if you read the words and you take a good look at what's being said here, it's the Holy Spirit resting upon Jesus. And who is the one who baptizes, anoints, and sends forth the Holy Spirit? It is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is sent forth in the name of Jesus by the Father, and Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Counselor. In fact, in John chapter 14 through 16. Now, if you look at this passage in Isaiah, sometimes we just go over these things, we read this stuff, but we don't look at what we're actually reading. There are six ways in which the Holy Spirit is made manifest in this one scripture: wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. There are six things there. Now, that's my kind of counselor. If I have a problem, I would want to talk to somebody that was wise enough and understanding enough who could give me good counsel or good advice, but who would also lend the power of his name to that advice. A person who was knowledgeable in the kind of my kind of problem and life situation, and who recognized God as the authority in his life. Now, these six ways in Isaiah are my kind of counselor. Now, read with me Isaiah 9:6. Here we go. Another Christmas one. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, we go over that stuff at Christmas time, but nobody really looks at it. This is another prophecy concerning Jesus, but notice that in that scripture is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In all of that scripture, let me restate it for you. Our mighty God is named Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, Prince is the son of the ruler, and Wonderful Counselor. And that Wonderful Counselor is wonderful because he is the Spirit full of wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, power, and knows the authority of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is our Wonderful Counselor who dwells within us through Jesus Christ and who overflows us at points where needed, like rivers of living waters. Now, in the next month and a half or so, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do some mass counseling with us as we daily deal with things, obstacles in our lives. Anybody here deal with fear? Anybody here have any doubts in your mind? Anybody have any inner turmoil that just churns you up on the inside? Anybody here dealing with a temptation in their life? Anybody here have parts of their lives from their history that are actually points of bondage in their life? I'm going to talk about those things and how the Wonderful Counselor is our counselor. The things that we have to deal with in our lives, but they're the ones that I've been led to concentrate on in terms of raising up your consciousness. Actually, I think every human dilemma that can ultimately be boiled down to two areas, actually: fear and doubt. Everything in the realm of our emotions and emotional difficulties will more than likely finally be brought to the term fear. Everything in the intellectual area of our lives can more than likely be factored down to some form of doubt. Doubt about ourselves, about God, about others, about life. We are intellectual and emotional beings. These two realms center in the Greek description of humanity, either our minds or our hearts and our soul. That has to do with our intellects and our emotional feelings. We have our minds, which reason, and our feelings, which put spirit into us. And these two parts of us govern the choices we make. And as they interact together within us, that is how I think, how I feel, and they determine how I'm going to act in given situations because of what's there. Now, that is essentially the activity of the soul and spirit, which determines what our body does. Now, it's no wonder that the great commandment is we should love God with our heart and soul, that's our emotions, and our minds, that's our intellect, and our strength, which is how we act everything out in terms of our intellects and emotions, thoughts and feelings. Everything that I am thinking and feeling make up my decisions and my actions. The reason that so many of us make so many mistakes in this life, wrong choices and decisions, is really twofold. Now, all of us here have points of what I call intellectual ignorance. Now, I'm not speaking of IQ deficiency, but just ignorance of not knowing certain things that might be able to help us if we just knew them. This is one reason I teach the Word of God, so you can know the truth, because I know that the truth can set us free in terms of our lives. So I teach the Word of God. I don't just preach noises or just make you feel good or just get up here to hear myself talk and make me feel good. I know that the Word of God, when taught, answers the basic intellectual needs that we have. But what I present is not just intellectual answers. I speak from a spiritual resource as well, and not just an academic resource. The Holy Spirit is that spiritual resource, and there is a world of difference between academic solution and a spiritual solution sometimes. Intellect and emotions. Emotionally, all of us have been one way or another scared to death in our lives. We have fears. I am persuaded that because we are creatures of a race that is tainted by sin, that's enough to infuse in all of us a certain degree of fear in terms of how this life works and all that goes with it. Just as doubt is the main obstacle to our minds, fear is the main obstacle to our feelings and our spirit. Fear is a fact of the race, and those fears that we are filled with are compounded by the things that happen through the course of our lives. Things we do to ourselves, things that are done to us. You've heard the term unreasoning fear. Unreasoning is the proper term, because fear really has very little to do with reason or the intellect. It has to do with the emotional side of who we are. It has to do with emotional trauma. Intellectually, we may know that we shouldn't have a particular fear, but fear is not an intellectual thing. It's emotional. The Holy Spirit is the wonderful counselor who comes to free us from unreasoning fear and intellectual doubt. The Holy Spirit is the divine psychiatrist, you might say, who helps us deal with the inner turmoil or temptations or past bondage in our lives, things that have happened to us. You know, we have these ministries around here, the Sozo and the Theophostic ministry and things like that, where the Holy Spirit comes to help us deal with things that have happened to us. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of counsel and might, which reaches down inside of us and removes mental and emotional blocks that are in our lives. He comes to our points of hurts and ministers to us at what seems to be impossible ways to us. He comes and ministers to our psyche, you might say, our soul. In Greek, psuche is the word for soul, and it is the word from which we get the word psyche. Psychology is the study of soul, mind, and emotions and their interaction with one another in reality. The Holy Spirit is the divine psychologist, psychiatrist, and he is the one who wants to minister to us and give us God's peace. So today I hope I have introduced you to this person of the Holy Spirit, this wonderful counselor who has more medical and theological degrees beside his name than all the doctors at DMH and St. Mary's combined and every minister in this city put together. I'm going to take a few Sundays this fall and allow the Holy Spirit through words to penetrate through some of the gravel, the soil, the deep levels of our human psyche, and bring to the surface those things that would in any way block our lives from being full and emotionally healthy. Now, it's my prayer during this time that the Holy Spirit will do some mass counseling with all of us during morning worship and counseling between the Sundays. Holy Spirit, he's the wonderful counselor. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would begin to work in us by your Spirit and be our counselor in the many areas of our lives where we have issues. In Jesus' name, amen.